an incredible privilege to be able to share with you some insights on this week's Parsha, Parsha Shlach. I want to begin by thanking the families who dedicated this virtual drasha to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Sivan, Justin and Abigail Rosemore, for dedicating all the learning Shiurim this month in memory of their beloved son, Kobi Chaim Yaakov Dov, Zichron Levracha Ben Yosef Tzadok. To thank Alan and Sue Meyerowitz and family, Jason, Deborah, Justin, Rebecca, Mindy, Simcha, and all the grandchildren for dedicating all the Shiurim and Drashos and the Zchus of Refuah Shleima for Sue, Shulam Istova, Bas Mindel. To thank our Drasha sponsor, Maya and Nita Gerstein, for dedicating the Drasha in memory of Nita's father, Azriel Ben Elio, and Sandy Huffman, for dedicating the drasha in the merit of good health for her mishpacha. We thank all of our sponsors. Generally, we thank all of our sponsors for all the different shiurim, for their incredible generosity and commitment to our shul, to our kehillah, to our learning, especially during these challenging times. Parsha Shlach is perhaps one of the most enigmatic and tragic parshios. This is a story we know, the story of the spies, good men, who were chosen for a reconnaissance mission to scout out the land, to figure out the best way in so that Am Yisrael could conquer, could inherit, could take possession of the beautiful land promised to Avram Avinu. But how something so simple, or that should have been so simple, straightforward. Remember, again, the question was never, should we go into the land? The question was simply, how should we go into the land? That was the entire question. God is going to be by our side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help us out. There are a couple of technical or logistical details we have to work out. That was the whole mission. And yet everything unraveled so dramatically. Everything unraveled so terribly, to the point that the Meraglim, with the exception of Yoshua and Kalev, effectively tell the people, we can't go. We can't go. And things unfold to such a dramatic degree that they literally say the words, Nitna Rosh V'Nashuva Mitzrayma. Let's go back to Egypt. Go back to Egypt. Craziness. Egypt was the pit of despair. Egypt was a spot of such barbaric and horrific torture. But yet you see how despondent they were. You see how overwhelmed they were by the enormity of what they saw in Eretz Yisrael, to the point, it's not just we don't want to go into land. You know, let's not go to Eretz Yisrael. You know, let's go to New Jersey. Right? Let's not go to Eretz Yisrael. Let's go to Australia. No. Meaning they become so overwhelmed that quite literally, again, they want to abandon the entire idea of going to Eretz Yisrael and go back to Egypt. Go back to what we know. And perhaps in one of the most dramatic psukim, the Meraglim, the spies, again, this is the group without Yehoshua and Kalev. Yehoshua and Kalev were the ones who were trying to rally the people the entire time. Alone, Allah, we can go, we can do it. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has our back, he's by our side. The Meraglim say the following to the Jewish people. This is Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, chapter 13, verse 31. V'ha'anashim asher alu imo omru lo nucha lalos. The people who came up with him. Now remember, the context over here is that Kalev ben Yefune had said to the people, we can do this. We can do it. Guys, don't fret. Don't be upset. Don't be overwhelmed. God is by our side. We can do this. The other spies respond. They say, no. We cannot take the nation into the land of Israel. For he is stronger, or for it is stronger than him. Now the Pashat Pshat Mimenu is that they're talking about themselves. They're telling Kalev, we cannot go into the land of Israel because at the end of the day, the indigenous nations are stronger than us. Ki chazaku mimenu. Even though mimenu means stronger than him, they really, it's the way they're talking about themselves. Biblically, you see this often where people refer to themselves in the third person. So they simply say, Kalev, beautiful idea, beautiful rah-rah speech. We can do it. We can do it. Let's go. Kalev, no, we can't. No, we can't. Because at the end of the day, ki chazak hu mimenu, the nations who live in the land are stronger than us. Conquest is impossible. Entry is impossible. We need to find a plan B. The Gemara Maseches Sota says that in fact, the Meraglim were saying something much more sinister and much more profound. The Gemara says, what does it mean, chazak hu mimenu? Because the inhabitants of the land are stronger than him. Kivyochol. The Mimenu, says the Gemara, was the Meraglim's reference to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the Meraglim were saying, even God can't pull this off. You see, Kalev was saying, we can do this. Have more faith in yourself. Believe in yourself. The Meraglim were saying, Kalev, not only are you wrong, not only can we not do it, but ki chazaku mimenu. So, lo nucha lalos esa'am, ela'am, excuse me, we cannot go up, the nation can't go, and we can't do battle with the nations that are there. Ki chazaku mimenu, and even God can't do it. Even God can't do it. Says the Gemara, the Meraglim were launching a theological attack. They weren't just simply trying to discredit Kalev's approach, right? Kalev and Yehoshua were saying the whole time, we can do this, we can go in, we can conquer. Kalev, not only can we not go in and conquer, ki chazaku mimenu, mimenu, even they're stronger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether they were saying that the Canaanite gods were stronger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the Canaanites themselves, nations, were stronger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were literally going ahead and saying, even the Ribono Shel Olam cannot pull this off. And you understand, when you look at it through that lens, the divine response. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels so betrayed. I took you out of Egypt. You saw my might. I brought the mightiest empire on the face of the earth to its knees. I split the sea. I gave you the Torah. I provide man for millions of people each and every day. And you say I can't do it. You say you doubt my ability. So understand, it's not simply doubting God's muscle. That's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. It's doubting God's promise, his fidelity, and his allegiance to us. I've cradled you in my arms this entire way. I took you out of Egypt, holding your hand every step of the way. You lacked for nothing. I took care of you with everything. And you think I'm going to abandon you now? You think I'm going to forsake you? You think I'm not going to be here with you? Ki chazaku mimenu. But ultimately, again, the Meraglim are saying, yes, at the end of the day, the inhabitants here are too strong for the Ribono Shel Olam. But I saw an incredible insight by the Meshech Chachma. And the Meshech Chachma writes, he says something, listen to these words. Ki chazaku mimenu, what does it mean? The land or the inhabitants of the land are stronger mimenu. What does it mean? Ki amru, ki derech ish hamigudal b'shiflos haruach ha'bachna b'vodas parech, ki lo tisromim nafsho b'hilachim b'gayacha. The Meshech Chachma says, you know, someone who is brought up in servitude and slavery doesn't really have the courage or the spirit to be able to go ahead and do battle with someone else. It just doesn't work. In other words, a slave doesn't really become a warrior. A slave doesn't become a conqueror. A slave doesn't have that confidence. A slave doesn't have that inner wherewithal. A slave doesn't have that sense of self. He goes on, he says, Mikol shekin begay eitan va'amitz, and all the more so against a very mighty nation. The slave can't rise up. So says the Meshech Chachma, Lachin amru, ki milchamos atzumos ke'ela bal ye'os ledoreinu. What the Meraglim were saying was as follows. We, the generation who left Egypt, this is not a war for us. This is not, we're slaves. We're slaves. Now granted, we're no longer slaves, we're free. But slaves can't really transition to become conquerors. Slaves can't really transition ultimately, again, to become an autonomous people. We're happy we're not in servitude anymore. We're happy that we're not laborers for the Egyptians. We're happy to be under the protective wing of God. But conquerors, self-autonomous individuals, people who pursue a destiny, that's not us. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Rak Livanenu. You know who can pull this off? Our children could pull this off. Our children could do this. Because our children will raise them in the desert. We'll raise them outside of the confines of Egypt. They will never know servitude. They will never know slavery. They will never know the feeling of the taskmaster's whip across their back. They will never know the dehumanization and humiliation of servitude and slavery. They will never know what it feels like to be made to feel like a piece of property, like chattel. They'll grow up free. And because our children will grow up free, they'll have the confidence, they'll have the healthy ego, the healthy sense of self to go into the land and to be conquerors. Therefore, says the Meshech Chachma, this was the meaning in the Meraglim statement. Lachin amru, ki chazak hu mimenu, velo mibaneinu. Says Meshech Chachma, that's the meaning of the phrase. Meshech Chachma, we weren't doubting the strength of God. Of course God could do it. God could do anything. They never doubted God. They doubted themselves. We can't do this. Ki chazak hu mimenu. That what's waiting for in Canaan, is it doable? It's definitely doable, just not by us. Not by us. Because we're slaves. Because we're slaves. You could take the Jew out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of the Jew. Once a slave, always a slave, they felt. Once dehumanized, you never really regain your sense of self. Ki chazak hu mimenu. We're not conquerors. You see, interestingly enough, they must have thought that at the end of the day, when they were going to enter into the land of Israel, it's kind of going to be a repeat of Egypt. What happens ultimately, again, when they get to the banks of the Red Sea and the Egyptians are in hot pursuit? What does Moshe Rabbeinu say to the Jewish people? Hashem yilachim lachem v'atem tacharishun. God will fight your battle. You be quiet. God's got this. They must have thought that the same thing was going to happen in Canaan. And then they start doing the reconnaissance and they realize, wow, there's fortified cities, this strong people, we're going to really have to work over here. We're going to have to put in some significant effort. They get scared. They get scared. And not even scared. It's not really even fear. Ki chazaku mimenu. We can't do this. This is not our thing. But here's the good news. Children, our children who are born out of servitude, our children who are born in the desert, our children, again, who will be born over the coming years, they could do it. Let's raise the next generation. In the generation of free men and women, those men and women will become the conquerors. They'll become the soldiers, the foot soldiers of the Ribon Shel Olam, and they'll have the sense of confidence and the sense of inner strength to be able to go in and take what is theirs. Says the Meshech Chachma, this was the tragic mistake of the Meraglim. Ki chazak hu mimenu. The land, the inhabitants, the nations are too strong for us because we're slaves. Right? We can't really change. We're out of Egypt, but we're still really the same people who lack confidence, who lack a sense of self, who lack even a sense of self-worth. We're nothing. And nothings can't become conquerors. Says the Meshech Chachma, this was the sin of the spies. They didn't doubt HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even at least in the beginning, they didn't doubt Moshe Rabbeinu. They just doubted themselves. But you see something amazing. Is that when you begin to doubt yourself, when you don't believe that you could accomplish something, you could have God on your side, you could have Moshe Rabbeinu on your side, it doesn't make a difference. If you don't believe in yourself, you accomplish nothing. You know what's amazing? If you go back a little bit in the Chumash, you know, in one of Moshe Rabbeinu's first speeches to Klal Yisrael, he delivers the Arba Lashonot Shel Gula, the four expressions of freedom. And the Torah responds afterwards, Klal Yisrael hears the speech, and Moshe Rabbeinu is all excited because he got the speech from God. Incredible. He gives over the drasha. He expects like a standing ovation, clapping, applause, everything. What does the pasuk say? V'lo shamu al Moshe mikotzu rachmei avod akasha. They didn't even listen. I mean, it's like they stopped, they listened, and then they just went back to work afterwards. There was not even an acknowledgement of what it is that he said. Says the Meshech Chachma, the same Meshech Chachma, what's the pshat? What happened? How could the speech not have an impact on them? So it's interesting. The Meshech Chachma writes, they believed that God would take them out of Egypt. They believed that God would punish their Egyptian tormentors. They believed that they would be free, i.e. freed from servitude. But when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about entering into the land and becoming autonomous, when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about becoming a people of destiny, below Shamu El Moshe, they couldn't hear it. They couldn't hear it. Why? You talking to me? To me? I'm not that person you're describing. I'm a slave. I'm broken. I'm a piece of chattel. The incredible message Torah Kadosha is teaching us is what happens when you give up on yourself. You see, the tragedy of the Meraglim is that they were unable to see themselves in any way other than being a slave. Isn't this incredible? You could have God himself take you out. God himself split the sea. God himself have a fire before you at night, the cloud over you by day. God launders your clothing each and every day. Divine room service, the month falls. You would think that that would tell a person, I'm important, I'm chashiv. The Ribon Shel Olam b'chvodo b'atzmo, God himself is taking time every single day to take care of me. I think that shows that I'm pretty important. But you see that when you don't believe in yourself, when you don't believe that you could change, when you don't believe that you can evolve, when you don't believe that you could transcend who and what you are presently to become something greater in the future, you're just stuck. And you see great opportunities, But you say to yourself, Ki chazaku mimenu. Me? I can't accomplish that. That might be great for someone else, but that's not the right fit for me. Me? I'm simple. Me? I'm chattel. Me? I'm a slave. Me? I'm broken. And my dear friends, how many times in life do we walk around with preconceived notions of ourselves? How many times does it happen that I failed? We all fail. I fail multiple times. But sometimes I make the mistake of thinking that because I failed, therefore I'm a failure. And I label myself as a failure. And so an opportunity, new opportunity, exciting opportunity comes my way. I simply say, that's not for me. I'm the guy who fails. I'm the failure guy. That's what I do. That's how I've done it. And so I look at the opportunity and it looks so beautiful. I look at my promise and it looks so beautiful. But the same phrase comes to mind, Ki chazaku mimenu. It's too strong, too much. I can't do it. Or how many times that we convince ourselves that we can't do things because we weren't able to do something at some point in time, we assume that we can never do it. Or maybe sometimes we have bad character traits and we say to ourselves the worst line that any person could ever say, this is who I am. Ay va voy, this is who I am. That's not a statement. You could say, this is who I choose to be. This is the personality I choose to perpetuate. But this is who I am sounds like there's something beyond your control. But how many times do we lock ourselves into identities and we lock ourselves into character traits by saying, this is who I am? No. You could always change. You could always evolve. We have to make sure to avoid the chet amragim. No, the Gemara says that there are certain averus, there are certain sins which haunt us to this very day. One of them is the golden calf, and the second is the sin of the spies. So the sin of the golden calf will leave for a different time, but the fact that the sin of the spies follows us to this very day, I think, is a profound statement. Because it's true, because so many of us commit this sin over and over and over. We view ourselves as compromised. We view ourselves as deficient. We view ourselves as mediocre. We view ourselves as unworthy. And that's the identity that we solidify, concretize, and set in place for ourselves. And we never even entertain the idea that we could be more, that we could be greater, that we could be beautiful. And then unfortunately, when great opportunity, promised land presents itself, all I say is, Ki chazaku mimenu. Sorry, not for me. And we turn our backs on great opportunities, beautiful moments and opportunities. And we go back to the Egypt that I knew. We go back into the desert. The spies committed a sin that forever changed the trajectory, not just of our history, but forever changed the trajectory of the narrative of mankind. And whether we realize it or not, every single day we are faced with these same opportunities. We stand opposite our promised land. We must make a decision. Am I going to settle back into the mediocrity, to the mindset I've created because I've convinced myself that this is it, this is the box, this is where I live and that's it? Or am I willing to find the courage that the Meraglim did not have? The Meraglim of Yoshua and Kalev. The courage of Yoshua and Kalev. The courage to say, let's go, let's do it. Yesterday you failed. Last year you failed. For the last 30 years you failed. Just because I failed for 30 years doesn't make me a failure for the next 30. Just because I did things a certain way back then doesn't mean that I can't change things now. Just because I was a slave doesn't mean that I always have to be a slave. May we be zocha to find that courage of Yoshua and Kalev, to find that courage that the Meraglim lacked. May we find the courage to understand that just because I was a certain way need not mean that I have to remain that way. If we find that courage, then when we stand face to face with the promised land of personalistic accomplishment, we will find the koach and the courage to, Mir Tzashem, enter and embrace a beautiful destiny. Wishing everyone a good and Erev Shabbos and a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh.